good afternoon. Time to start. So good to see everybody here tonight or this evening. We're going to be talking about how to work more reading into our schedule. And I want to do two things. Number one, I want to talk about the Bible first, about the concept of reading and what the Bible teaches about reading, the importance of reading, give some illustrations, some things that I've observed over the years, and some things I've been have read, and just some good illustrations I think that'll help us understand how important it is to read. But the wise men said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all the getting, get understanding. And so the wise man talks about the idea of getting wisdom, but said with all that, get understanding. We need to have understanding, but how do we come by understanding? You know, wisdom is the idea of taking what we know and applying it, having some common sense with what we understand, know. But knowledge, the understanding comes through knowledge, and knowledge comes through a variety of different things, through experiences in life, things of that nature. But it also comes through reading. Have you ever thought about the idea of all the things that God could have chose to communicate His Word to us? He chose words. He chose to put His words in a book whereby we could pass that book down through generations. Through His providence, He would bring that book to us today where we could open it up and read it in our own language that we can understand it. And it's been translated in other languages so that they might be able to understand as well. So the idea here is that there's an understanding that one gets through reading, and we need to understand the importance of that. Just several verses that come to my mind that I've written down here for us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of the prophecy and keepeth these things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, you recall that Paul told the young evangelist Timothy, give attention to reading. That is, pay attention, look at reading. You need to be able to read, and Paul talks about that. It's of interest to me when Paul talked about to send Jar Mark to him to bring the parchments, and he said, bring the books. I've often wondered what were those books, if there was some kind of reading that Paul wanted, some extra books. But I know this, whatever they were, it involved reading, didn't it? It involved being able to understand those things, go back and reread those things, restudy those things, that he might have a better knowledge of things he wanted to read or come to know. And so that's 1 Timothy 4, 13. Ephesians 3, 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, so they read in the book the law of God distinctively and gave the sense and then caused them to understand the reading. So once again, the idea of go back and reading the law and looking at the law, what the law said, reading it, and then giving them the sense of what it said. We would call that interpreting what was being said so they might understand it. Might call it something like this, breaking it down so they could understand it. You know, sometimes in our preaching, we break words down so that one might have a better understanding. And it's all about knowledge, isn't it, to be able to have a better understanding that we might be able to teach others and instruct others better. So they gave them the law, read it distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And then in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3, says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book the law of the Lord their God one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they gave a lot of attention to reading, didn't they? One fourth part of their day they read. So they thought that was important too, didn't they? Remember in Luke gives account of the Lord coming in the temple, and it says he stood up to read. And so he took a scroll out, and he read from that scroll, sat back down, and as they were wondering what he was going to do, then he told them what he read, that today this what I've read is being fulfilled in your sight. And of course, that caused him to have a conversation with those around about him, that he was able to explain to them what he meant by the things that he had read and what that meant as related to him and salvation that was coming. And then, of course, Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night. And so with all that said, a person needs to make a plan about reading, about how to go about reading the Bible. Let me ask you this, just, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but the idea, how many of y'all actually have a plan of reading the Bible through? Maybe the New Testament, you got a plan to read the New Testament, you have a plan to read the Old Testament, and are you working at that plan? On my desk, I have a calendar that covers quite a big area of my desk, one of those, you know, conventional calendars you buy at Office Depot or somewhere, you know. And every day is marked out a segment of scriptures for the New Testament so that I can read through the New Testament once a month. And I have that also written in the back of my Bible so that if I'm in an event such as this here, I still know what chapters I need to read in order to be able to keep up with my reading. For instance, I read Luke chapter 1, 1 through 7 yesterday, today, 7 through 11, I think it was. And so in the process of time and through 1 month, I can read through the New Testament in 1 month. And I say that to say this, don't you think that if you read through the New Testament every month, that somewhere along the line, you will come away knowing something? You think? I'll tell you this, if you don't read the New Testament, you'll never know what you need to know when it comes to knowing God and serving God. And so you need to have a plan and then to be able to work that plan. Robert Taylor, Brother Robert Taylor Jr., read 2 chapters in the Old Testament and 9 chapters in the New Testament every day. And so he was an avid reader of the Bible. And of course, that helped him to have a great knowledge of it. Alexander Campbell, it was said that he read 1 hour, it was a daily reading schedule, 1 hour of the Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, second hour in the Greek language, 1 hour. The third hour, he read from Latin, 1 hour. And the fourth hour, he memorized scripture. And so that gets you back to that idea of reading, doesn't it, and the importance. Now, what I'm trying to show and help us understand is the importance of reading right now, okay? Just so we can understand that we need to really understand just how vital it is for us to read. If I could start over as a young preacher and go back knowing what I know now, I would spend absolutely more time reading the Bible and reading, of course, other books. But it's so vital that we understand just how important reading really is. Jared Jackson gave 9 rules for effective Bible reading. And by the way, these can be found in the Christian Courier. But I'm going to give you these 9 rules. Number one, he says, read the Bible regularly. That gets back to the idea of having a schedule. So read the Bible regularly. Number 2, read the Bible analytically. That is, rightly handling the Bible. Francis Bacon, and this comes out of another book, wants to remark this. He said, some books are to be tasted, others are to be swallowed, and some for you to be chewed and digested. And that gets into the idea of being an analytical reader. That is, really getting into it and reading it and digesting it. I don't know about you, but when I buy a book, it belongs to me. And if I want to write in it, I'll write in it. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, don't write in books, you know, don't do that, you know. And I say, well, I pay for it. If I want to write in it, I'm going to write in it, you know. And so when I go through a book, I write in it. I outline in it. I might highlight something. I'll make little notes in it. You know, well, this would be a good sermon, you know, right here. Get some good points here, or if it's something that I don't agree with, I may write, you know, study this some more, or I may just say I don't agree with this, you know, but I'm going to write in my books because, number one, I'm going to come back and reread those things again, and when I write them, going through those things, I can highlight all the things I want to read, and then when I come back through it, I can look at those things and really concentrate on those things even a little bit more. And so read analytically. And then thirdly, read systematically. That is, have a plan. Lay out a plan of how you're going to read. And we'll we'll look at that momentarily, as it relates to reading books. Read the Bible persistently. That is, don't be off and on. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do, and I think it's true with all of us, is that it's difficult to sit aside a time and keep on that schedule every day, because as preachers, we always have something going on, right? And there's always somebody interfering, calling you to go do this or go do that, or, you know, doctor's appointments come up. As you get a little older, you get more doctor's appointments, you know. Some of y'all know about that. I don't know about that yet, but. No, that's a lie. but anyway, there's always those things come up, isn't there? And so we have to readjust our schedule. But what happens sometimes, if we're not careful, is that we will forget that we should have read what we read yesterday, what we didn't read yesterday, and then we put it off the next day, and put it off the next day. Pretty soon, the months went by, and we've forgotten to do our reading, you know? And so be persistent in our reading. Find the time. Someone asked Brother Taylor how it was he was able to read all that he was able to read in 1 month, all the Bible. And he pulled out his little New Testament, and he said, I carry this with me everywhere I go. And he said, if I'm sitting in a doctor's office waiting on the doctor, you know, I pull out my text and start reading. And if I'm someplace else waiting on something, I pull out my Bible and start reading. Well, you know, that's being persistent, isn't it? That's recognizing that sometimes things get in our way of that scheduled time, and then having what we want to read with us, so we might be able to work that in at another time during the day. And we can do that, can't we? As a matter of fact, sometimes we might be at home at night, we haven't been able to do our reading that morning. Instead of watching that TV show, we could pull out our Bible and read the Bible, couldn't we, and get our reading done. By the way, it only takes about 45 minutes, or at least for me, about 45 minutes to read through 7-8 chapters of the Bible. It doesn't take that long. So it's not like you're giving up half your day. You're reading. Even if you were, it'd be worth it. But I'm just saying it doesn't take that long to read through a few chapters. And so read persistently. Read the Bible completely. That is, read the whole Bible. Read the Bible reverently. By the way, reading that Bible completely, just to give you a little side note, I had an eldership wanted to talk about reading changing their Bibles to the New King James, and they asked my advice as to what I thought they should do, you know, and what I thought about it. And I said, well, I said, before I would bring it in, I wasn't against it, of course, I like the New King James, but I said, before I'd bring it in, I said, you know what I would do if I was you? I said, I'd read it. You know, if you're going to recommend it to the congregation, you need to read it. And I don't mean just read parts of it. You need to read the whole Bible, right? I think that's only wise. If you're going to be an elder and going to recommend this to your congregation to read, you need to read it, make sure that it's what you ought to be recommending, you know. Anyway, just a little side note. But then read the Bible reverently, of course. Understand this is the Word of God. Read the Bible expectantly, expecting it to have an influence in your life. When I read the Bible, I expect to learn something, and I expect it to help change my life, don't you? I want to know what the Bible teaches. I want to know what it's going to do for me and how it's going to change my life and how that can affect, help me change other people's lives as we read the Bible together. Read the Bible fervently, that is with the focus, and then read the Bible collectively. Now, I think this is an area we probably missed out on a lot. Read the Bible with friends collectively is what he's talking about, reading with friends. That is to be able to sit down and read the Bible with others. You know, there's some preachers that I talk with on a regular basis. And we go over the Bible when we're talking. We talk about different things in the Bible, and it just helping sharpen our swords, isn't it? And so that's kind of the idea of reading the Bible collectively. But, you know, with your family, sit down with your wife or sit down with your children on a regular basis and read the Bible together. You'll benefit greatly from that. So those are some things that Brother Jackson put out there that might be of value to you. Well, look at the value of reading. Studies have shown that a regular reader, regular reading habits, not only sharpens vocabulary, but also reduces the brain's rate of decline in old age and expands the EQ, that is the emotional, intellectual part of the brain. That is, it helps to slow down the aging process. and it helps to expand your knowledge, your intellect. And I think that's something we all need, right? So reading has that value to that as we read more. It also gives your brain a workout. Now, it's obvious I don't work out at the gym, but I know I need to. But the body is muscles, isn't it? And we work our muscles out in order to get our bodies back in shape, right? We walk, we exercise, lift weights if you do, and stuff of that nature. But it's all about working the muscles out to get your body back in the proper shape. Well, your brain's a muscle too. And we need to exercise our brain, don't we? We exercise our brain by reading, by taking information in so that we can know more and be able to help others know more as well. And so so it's something we need to work out. By the way, it melts away stress too. Reading is a good stress reliever, and it helps us to take our minds off all the problems and worries of the day and get our minds back where it ought to be. And so it boosts your vocabulary, and of course we all could use that, couldn't we? It boosts mental wellness, and it helps in creating better illustrations. I don't know about you as a preacher, but as a preacher, I'm always looking for better illustrations. I mean, I use illustrations in my own personal life, as most preachers will, but also at the same time, I'm always looking for more illustrations. Something I can use. For instance, I was reading the other day about John D. Rockefeller, and it just happened to be that what I was reading was about his life. You may have saw this here, how that by the age of 50, he was the richest man in the world, and by the age of 53, he was diagnosed that he had 1 year left to live. He had some kind of problem going on, but it's all psychological, and it was all because of stress. All related to his greed and all the keeping his money. And toward the end of that year, the doctors told him he had 1 year to live. He called all of his lawyers in, his advisors in, and told him, says, you know what? I just realized my immortality, and I'm going to die, and all this money staying right here is not doing any good at all. And he began to set up all these foundations, giving his money away, and gave the mass part of his money away. And within a couple of years, his health changed, and he began to get better. He started losing all of his hair. His hair started coming back. The stress was gone. He lived to be 98 years old, all because he realized, and he made a statement, God only gave this stuff to me for a while to borrow while I was here on earth. And I thought, man, what a great illustration, you know. And so as you're reading, you can find all kinds of good illustrations that will help you in your preaching. And we need all the help we can get, don't we? And so that's another benefit of reading. Well, one of the main ways we gain knowledge is through reading, of course. I read that the average person reads 12 books a year. I don't know how many, anybody read more than that? You do? Yeah, I thought that was kind of low personally, but I asked my son, he's a pretty avid reader, how many he reads. He said he reads about 100 books a year, and now he reads through not only paperback, but reads with the e-books, you know, stuff like that. And then a lot of people listen to books now, stuff like that. But anyway, that's the average. Gus Nichols wrote that a person should read one book a week, and that'd be 52 books a year, wouldn't it? And that's actually doable if you want to be able to do that. Winfrey Claiborne read up to a dozen books at a time. He had four or five books open at any given time. And they said that he would, no matter where he was at in a room, in all of his rooms, there was a book laying there opened up. And he would come to that room and read some of it, and then go back to another room and read some of the other book. And so he always had books opened up, but he read that much, you know, 4 to 5 books per week. And I know he was a very avid reader. Him and I talked about his reading, and he read a lot, you know. But he would also say this here, that he would read a book, and if it didn't give him the information. If it didn't help him at the time of what he was studying, then he'll quit reading it and go read something else. So he read at the time what he was needing for the information he's needing at the time. So we can get lost in our reading if we're not careful and read stuff that's really of no value just at that time. So, all right, well, so let's go now to the other part of the lesson. How do we schedule more reading into our, or how do we schedule more reading into our schedule? Once again, think about this here. Here's what we have to do. We have to schedule a daily reading time. You need to find a time that's best for you when to read. Now, I don't know. Everybody's different. You know, some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. I'm a morning person. When I get up out of the bed in the morning, I'm wide awake and I'm 100% on the go. You know, when my wife wakes up in the morning, she is the total opposite. You know, she says, "Leave me alone and don't bother me." You know, and I've learned after several years that it's best to leave her alone. You know, but she's an evening person. So you know what works for me was not going to work for her. And so you're going to need to find out what works for you. But schedule a time to where you can read, and schedule that time, if you can, every single day. The first thing I do when I get to my office after saying my prayer, the first thing I do before I turn my computer on, before I start looking at my Facebook, the first thing I do is I read through my daily Bible reading, whatever that's for that day. That's the first thing I do. And so that works for me. Now, that may not work for you, once again. It may be that you're better suited at night, you know. But whatever works for you, use that. And so find a good time, schedule a good time to work for you. And in doing that, set goals when you're reading. You know, how many pages you might read that day. Now we're talking now about reading just in general, okay? Not necessarily reading the Bible. The Bible, I mean, you can split it up in so many chapters and systematically go through it in a very short time. But just reading other books, you know. I've got a book on the life of Christ by Foster. Anybody ever seen that book? It's about that thick. That's probably more narrow than where it is. I think it's 5,000 pages or somewhere around there, you know. It's one thick book. It needs to be in three different volumes. But anyway, when you just look at that book and you think, that is too much to read, you know. And it is in one sitting, isn't it? You know? And so what you do, you look at it and you read it in sections, don't you? I've been going back and reading Benjamin Franklin's book on his volume 2 and volume 1, The Gospel Preacher. And each one of those chapters is about 25 chapters, 23 to 25 chapters. And so Benjamin Franklin, some of these older preachers are hard to read after. And he's one of those that's kind of hard to read after. So I've challenged myself just to read one chapter a day. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's like 12 or 13 chapters. But so anyway, you know, within a short time, I'll be able to read that through. But if you sit down and try to read through one all in one sitting, number one, it's kind of boring reading, but it's got some good information in it, you know. But you sit down and read all at once, it being a kind of a boring book, you're going to get worn out, you know, and you're going to get tired. And you're going to put it down, and you're probably never going to pick it back up again, you know. And so the purpose of reading the book is to get through the book and gain all the information you can. If you get worn out by reading it because it's taxing and difficult to read, then you're not going to want to finish it, and you're not going to gain the information you can. And you'll probably miss out some good stuff that will come later on in the book. So anyway, schedule a time to read the book and make it work for you, whatever works for you. Secondly, find a place to read. You've got to find a good place to read that's conducive to reading. It may be in your living room, It may be at your office, you know, wherever it might be, wherever, whatever's suitable for you. I have a an office at my house, one of our bedrooms I've turned into a second office. I got my main office in the church, and then I have another reading room with more of my books in it, and I have a little area there that I can go in and read in there. And so depending on what I'm reading, depending on where I'm going to read at, you know, in my Bible rooms, I'm always in my office, but I have other books in my other spaces that I want to read, and so I would challenge myself to go there and read those. And all, but all three of the places, they all have one thing in common. It's a quiet area, and it's well lit up, so I have plenty of light, and I think that's important. You don't want to be in a dark room. You know, you get in a dark room. What's the first thing you do when you get in a dark room? Yeah, see, some of y'all are going to sleep in here, I say. That's probably not because of darkness, because of me. but you know, when you get in a dark room, I mean, it's natural. You get tired. You're worn out, and I'm gonna tell you something. Reading will make you worn out, won't it? Reading is that's tough. You know, number one, I'll be honest with you, I don't like to read. Now, you may find that strange, but I really don't like to read. I'd rather do anything else than read. But I know this, how important it is to read. And so I make myself read. And but if you're not careful, you can sit there and be reading and get bogged down into it. And before long, you're falling asleep. Or your mind is distracted into something else. And so, you know, have a place set aside for you to read. I've always wanted a back patio area where I could go out on it, read, you know, but then you don't want that in Georgia because you'd sweat to death out there. So, but anyway, find your good place to read do that. In doing that, you need to be able to get rid of any distractions that you have. What's one of the biggest distractions we have? Cell phone. That's right. The phone, cell phone. That's one of our biggest distractions. Before you sit down to read, turn your phone off. You know, you can live without the phone for an hour. You know, just turn it off. Don't worry about it. But if you're like me, you'll find yourself constantly looking over at, you know, then am I missing something? You know, somebody calling or something. You need to get your mind off that, don't you? That's the reason why when I go to my office, I don't turn the computer on. I put my phone down and concentrate on reading the scriptures. If I turn my computer on, I'm going to be trying to do something on the computer. There's going to be something over there I want to do, you know. So find a place and then get all the things that distract you away from you. When you do that, find your book that you enjoy reading. You know, not all books are equal. Some books are just, they're not written very well. Some books are not very challenging, you know, and so they're not that easy to read. I was going on a flight to Shirts, Texas several years ago, and I picked up the book Muscle and Shovel. And I wanted to read it. I've been wanting to read it for some time. And so I picked it up. I told my wife, I said, I'll just try to read this while I'm gone. When I got on the plane and sat down, I began reading it. That was an intriguing book, the way it was written, you know, the way the story flowed, you know. And before I got to Shirts, Texas on the plane, I'd read 3/4 of that book and finished it up within a few hours after getting there. But it was just a very interesting book, you know. And so I said that to say that there's some books that are more interesting. You're going to want to read them, and they'll grab your attention more so than others. And so you can read things of that nature. Then how about this? Organize or join a book club. And you may think, well, what in the world is that for? You know, now a lot of people think about organizing or joining a book club. You think about secular books, but I don't know that we have anybody that does this in the Brotherhood, but what about calling several of your preacher friends and say, listen, let's let's challenge each other to read more, okay? And then all of you pick out a book and set some dates that you want to have read this book through, and then challenge each other to read that book through. And you get done with that, go to another one, you know. That'd be a good way to do things, wouldn't it? And that way we could read more and challenge each other more, and at the same time work off each other in trying to read more. So anyway, join a book club or organize one. And then know when to stop reading a book and find a different book to read. There are some books that are just not going to help you. And so know when to stop reading a book, but also know when to read a book. I picked up a book probably 3 years ago, maybe. It was called How to Read a Book. And I was holding a gospel meeting for a friend in his congregation was preaching that. And he looked at this book and he said, what, you're reading a book on how to read a book, John? He says, how long you been an editor and how many books have you written? And I said, I want to learn more, you know. And he said, I would think by now you would know how to read a book, you know. But it really wasn't about that. It was about the concept of how to gain more out of a book, you know. And if you get a chance to buy the book, you ought to buy it, How to Read a Book by Mordecai Advil or something like that, I think it is. But it's a really challenging book. But anyway, it helps you to understand how you can gain more out of a book. And we really want to gain all we can out of a book, don't we? And so we want to learn more about books that we can gain stuff out of. So anyway, find a book that works for you. And then know when to put down a book that's not important to you. Once again, we talked about reading sections. Brother Franklin's book, I'm reading it in sections, one particular thing at a time. That way I can work myself through that book, you know. Once again, there's some books you're going to read right through, aren't you? I mean, it's just an interesting book, and you'll read quickly, and you'll gain stuff out of it. And so do that. And then reading books versus reading from a screen or audio, I thought I might include that. Studies have shown that online reading can be distracting. I didn't realize all this, but can be distracting, shallow, and hard on the eyes, while paper reading is more profound, more structured, and easier to remember. And I thought that was interesting. We have a tendency this day and age, we're going to more paperless books, digital books. And don't get me wrong, I like digital books. I probably have close to 10,000 digital books. And I enjoy being able to research through them and get information. I'll have more on that than you probably have eventually in your library, you know. But there's also something about a book in your hand, just sitting down and reading the book in your hand, that's just totally completely different. I don't know what it is about it, but there's kind of like snuggling up to an old friend, you know, that there's just a joy to sit down to be able to read that book. And so studies have shown that those who read a paperback book, you know, hardback book, whatever, paper books, they're going to gain more out of it than those who read books on e-books and things of that nature. And so I'm not saying don't read those things, but I'm just saying, you know, you need to probably balance that and read good books and build a good library. I think a good library is essential for any preacher. I think you need to build a good library. I have a pretty good library. And so build a good library. This is my third library I've built. And every one of them I've built totally different, you know. My first library was just grabbing books together. My second library was a restoration library. And this library I built is more of a informational book that you study for information, for research books and stuff of that nature. And so, as you progress on in your studies, you're going to want to have different kinds of books that you're going to read. And so I think that's probably important to you. So, all right. Well, let me see here what else you got. All right, then. Reading books for memory and reading comprehension, then listen to audiobooks. Once again, not always the material we need to be reading. So how much more time we got there? 10 minutes? All right. This was a difficult class to have. When Alan signed this to me, I said, how in the world am I going to talk 45 minutes on how to read a book and how to schedule more time? But I think all those things are good for us to think about and study about. So I hope that's been a benefit to you. So we'll just we'll go ahead and close it up there. So, all right. Appreciate you guys.